Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your faux Friday, Thursday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 10th day of June, 2021. And the gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, and you're waking up to... You're waking up to the last of the solar eclipse that's going on as we speak right now. A harbinger of what's to come. That would be a lot of sun out there right now. In fact, it will be a very sunny, pleasant day today with a high of 25 degrees. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, 23. Saturday, sunny, 28. Sunday could be a cloudy day, and it doesn't look like any showers in the forecast. Unfortunately, if you're looking forward to some rain until the early part of next week as we start out right now in Ottawa, it is 13 degrees, a little chillier this morning than it's been the last few days. Chilly is a relative term. As we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
JR, I'm good. Boy, oh boy, that day yesterday, could it get any hotter without having humidity? Just absolutely gorgeous, cooled down, and like that forecast. And also heard on the CFRA there as I was roaming around the building, patio's open tonight at 12:01.
That's right.
So they're going to do the 12 to 2, and for the weekend, nice to see the forecast. I thought initially Friday, not great, but boy, oh boy, I know the farmers need it. I know your garden needs it, but man, little patio action here this weekend. Hopefully open, and hopefully people putting lots of cash in the trays or cash in the till this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So many places, you heard in the news update, have announced that, 12:01 a.m., like less than 24 hours from now, they're allowed to open.
Yeah,
they're open,
yeah.
Even if it's just for a couple of hours.
Yeah. Why not?
And I guess the question will be, I guess they wouldn't do it if they didn't think or didn't know that people were going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I guess my question would be, are there people going to be wandering around from 10 until midnight tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of walking around, milling about, going... Yeah. Okay, I'm waiting. Doors are open. Okay, I'm in. Give me a beer.
I think they're absolutely will. And a few things here. First of all, for it being open, if I was younger, I'd be doing this all day long. I got to say, from the late, great local spot on Elgin, our good friend Dale Hill Hooley's JR, the behavior and Hammer, your kids aren't that young. She asked for you, JR. The Hooley's would actually be empty till about 11:45. Then all of a sudden, everybody that had been drinking at home, hanging out, it was usually around midnight that Hooley's is actually packed from midnight to 2.
People you got to wait till the old people leave.
That's a great point, but it was actually just very quiet. Like, a lot of people just came in. So, man, I think if it's a nice night now, are they going to hang around? I'm not sure, but hey, if I was in the college years, I'd just hang out at home, and at midnight, would I come and do a couple of hours? Oh, absolutely, in this gorgeous weather.
Yes. Well, I guess, we'll see.
I hope so.
You know what? As I said, they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't think there'll be a crowd. And a lot of people who are just doing it for doing its sake. There'll be a lot of people doing it because, hey, maybe I'll get interviewed by a TV station or something.
A little social media action, JR. Don't forget that part.
That's true.
Selfie sticks will be out.
Flying the flag of myself at the bar at 12:01 this morning as Ontario reopens after being pretty much shut down for the last couple of months.
Well, let me just promise you that when I send you a text tomorrow at 12:02 saying I'm under the weather and unable to make it to work Friday morning, it has absolutely nothing to do with bars being open.
Okay. All right.
This is man to man. I'm looking you in your eyeball right now. I'm honestly sick.
Might be because you've been blinded by staring at this morning's solar eclipse, which within the last 20 to 30 minutes passed its peak.
Oh, okay.
And I got to say, I was out and not looking at it.
Okay.
But it was super bright. Like, it's super bright. The reason you're not supposed to stare at a solar eclipse is that it's incredibly bright and can damage your eyes. You have to have special solar eclipse glasses, which I don't know about you guys. I had a great pair, but lost them somewhere.
Yeah, I had them with my Varnays back in the day.
Sat on them and broke them. My good solar eclipse sun. I don't have any solar eclipse sunglasses. But these don't roll around that often.
No.
Solar eclipses, total eclipse of the sun. I think there was a song.
Even the heart.
Bonnie Tyler back in the day. Anyway, the peak of it is passing as we speak. But that was, and I got to say, as I was driving to work this morning and the sun is coming up, that made it, first of all, at this time of year, when you're driving west to east and the sun is really low just after 5 o'clock in the morning,
It's hard to see anyway, let alone when it's as incredibly bright as it is right
now. Okay. Few things, and we'll have to play that song, Hammer. First of all, it's an absolute classic. I thought there was something that we used to build as kids in school back in the day that was kind of a makeshift viewfinder, JR.
Yeah, it turned 90 degrees.
Yeah, you'd end up doing that. Now, as far as the eclipse itself, I had no idea this was happening. No, I didn't know. I had not
really?
Seen it. Yeah, yeah, it was not.
I'm going to be with Simmer on this one, too. I've not been paying attention.
Oh, I know, I know.
No
come on, you guys.
No.
Oh, well.
None at all.
See, do you want... Now, this
I may have heard something about a month ago.
Other than
this is one of the issues that I have in life, is that if you want to pretend to know everything, which a lot of people just follow along, like I've worked with people where you say something to them and they kind of just shake their head like they're kind of not saying anything but pretending that they actually know. Now, we've just outed ourselves and we've kind of been ridiculed for it. Like, I honestly have never heard that this was happening.
It's been all over social media.
Okay. Well, whoever I follow, I guess, is into the eclipse. Now, I did wake up, JR, at 4:45. It was super bright this morning. Is that more so? Because
yes.
I was thinking, okay, my gosh, this is 11 days to the longest day of the year, and unfortunately they start getting shorter after that. And I know, Hammer, I'm just saying, though, that was my thought this morning. I was kind of like, wow, man, it's like crazy, crazy bright in here. So anyways,
you answered the question yourself.
Yeah, but I honestly, I was, and Hammer, same thing. Like, and you have kids, Hammer. Nobody in the house was aware of it?
Oh, my good God. My kids have got no idea what's going on outside of PS5. And their cell phones right now, and they're not following anybody that is talking about the eclipse. All they're following are idiots that like to build stuff in their backyard
and blow it up
and gigantic Legos and just silly garbage.
Yeah, I guess I follow too many nerds. Nerded out by things like solar eclipses.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw Bill Nye the Science Guy on my feed the other day, and I didn't even see what it was about. Maybe Bill was breaking it down.
See, usually this is something that my oldest brother, you want to talk about big nerds, he's a big nerd, but he's cool in his own right. But this is something that he would have sent out to everybody. Hey, don't forget to pop out of your house at 6 o'clock in the morning and whatnot and check out the solar eclipse.
That's not happening. And maybe that's why some of the chatter about it was somewhat muted, is that people knew the best, so-called best part of the solar eclipse was happening at 5:40 in the morning and a time when people are going, yeah, you know what, I'd kind of like to maybe experience it, but no, I'd rather sleep. So anyway, that's just happening and just finishing up. So if it's extra bright in your world this morning, that's exactly why. Okay, we'll take a break. 6:16. We'll get the show started right around the corner. We got lots to get to, including now 3/4 of the NHL's Final Four completed as the Islanders knock out the Bruins last night and move on to face Tampa. And Vegas can make it the Final Four complete if they can win tonight over Colorado. And they'll, of course, winner of that series will end up playing a Montreal. So get into all the hockey talk as we go on this morning as well. NBA playoffs, the Blue Jays, got some other off-the-page stuff. We've got Pierre McGuire, of course. Bradshaw just announced yesterday. Got a good Ottawa guy. Longtime assistant, most recently in Columbus, John Tortorella, has just been hired by the Vancouver Canucks as their new assistant coach. So we'll talk to Bradshaw coming up later on in the show as well. We will have an opportunity again for you to win $1,000 in our TSN $1,200,000 minute coming up just before 8 o'clock this morning. So hopefully we can give that $1,000 away. We seem to stuck on 7 this week. 7 and $70. Maybe today will be the day. Anyway, we got lots straight ahead. We're glad you're with us on this very bright and sunny Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Eclipse of the heart, a total eclipse of the sun, but I think you know what we're getting at. Welcome back to the show, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you on this Thursday morning. Busy show ahead. You know, Simmer's in a good mood whenever we play songs from the big 80s.
Well, I'm actually pleased that I actually got a lyric of a song, JR. I am just absolutely terrible, but that is a absolute classic right there. I like
that's
that.
That's a Jeep YJ special right there.
I don't know if it was quite to that, but it would have fit right into that realm, right in the good old 80s for sure.
It has to, man. That's a cuddle sesh song right there, if I've ever heard one.
That's why it's not a Jeep YJ song. Then you're not.
If you're going to the Bluffs.
You're not, maybe if you've got the certain lady by your side, but if you're with the fellas, you're not cruising around cranking Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, at 18, I already had my own pad hammer. I wasn't looking to go drive somewhere. Inspiration point. Is that Happy Days? Hey, am I aging myself to air? Hey?
I don't remember the name of it.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah. All right, there we go. Okay, and by the way, before we start the show or the sports talk, got to give a tip of the cap to our friend Simmer, who came through this morning because our coffee maker is disabled.
Yeah.
To say?
Yeah.
Disabled for the day.
Yeah. Hibernating.
For the day. Unavailable.
Yeah.
We could not go to the big right-hander this morning, Simmer came through with some coffee on the way into work today. So, well needed. Yeah. So, we're going to begin the show well-fueled. So, thank you, Simmer.
No problem.
MVP, Simmer.
Yeah, the old Billings Bridge McDonald's.
You're the man!
There. You got to plan the trip there. It's funny. I'm a map out guy, so whenever I made the decision to move to Old Riverside South, very strange being in that little pocket of the world, guys. Not a whole lot of accessibility when it comes to coffee as you're coming downtown. So
I have zero.
That's a good
from
point, Jared. Yeah, that's a great point. By the time you get on the highway, where are you going to stop? Right,
I would have to go out of my way to get coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not willing to do.
No, the one on the weekend, I backtracked to the little one that's at the corner of Manotick, just before you cross over the bridge, which is super, super busy. There is one in Barrhaven as you cross the bridge, Hammer, but it's not a drive-through, right?
Yeah, nope.
So it's kind of surprising. So the first one is hit that one and then do the roundabout and come through old town there, past the Immaculata onto Colonel By and downtown. So easy and glad to take care of the boys this morning.
All right, so If we sound even better fueled than normal, it's all thanks to Simmer today. If the show is off its edge for whatever reason, that's on Simmer.
Exactly. Yeah. How are you guys liking the taste? If you were to power rank your McDonald's coffee versus the other brands, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm not a coffee snob. Okay. I'll take whatever I can get. It's just like beer. I'm happy with anything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can we agree the big three of coffee, at least in Ottawa, are, you know, with all due respect to the independent chains, if we're talking about the bigger places, it's Tim's, it's Starb's, and it's McDonald's.
Starb's.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that what they say?
That's what they call it.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah. I'm not a Starb's guy because I don't like waiting in a parade of cars to get a black coffee. So I'm not a Starb's guy.
Fair enough. Just taste-wise. Okay. I'd have to go with Starb's. Good, nice Cafe Americano.
Okay.
I like that. I like the McDonald's coffee.
Okay.
Tim's coffee is okay until it gets lukewarm, and then it's god-awful.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
It just tastes like charcoal.
Yeah, same thing, Hammer. Coffee for me, although, interestingly enough, I enjoy it a little bit more now, and I have to have my cup in the morning. That's the only one I have, which is an extra large. It's a big bad boy. I've gotten used to the Tim's coffee, Jer, and I guess it's on the weekend. I like to grab a cup like McDonald's. I can't stand Starbucks coffee. Like, I just don't. It's a European kind of style, right? So the strength of the actual coffee, because I'm not really a coffee guy, man, I have to milk and sugar that bad boy right down to really kind of enjoy it. So more just the strength of the flavor. What about you, Hammer?
I'll be honest. If I have my choice, and if it was up here, I'd be a full-on Dunkin's guy. I would be a complete Dunkin's donut guy.
Oh, okay.
I love that Dunkin's.
I didn't know JR listed that as one.
That's what I would be
not
all
available
about.
Unless we were doing this show in Boston.
Yeah.
Well, we could go a little road show here in a few months, maybe. We could take a good. But it's Timmy's. It's usually Timmy's is the go-to.
You are right about that, though, Hammer. Especially in New England, and even all the way down to Maryland. But especially,
rock solid.
But in New England, man, oh man, Dunkin' is the branding, the idea. I used to do, and I've told you that the old Dunkin' regular. I'd say, just give me a large regular. One day I'm looking in the window, I'm seeing the person make it, and I almost barfed. I'm like, my God, they had half the cup with sugar, half the cup was cream, and then they put a dab of coffee on the top, and I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to be one milk, one sugar. I was actually, no wonder it tastes so darn good. If you put that much sugar and milk in something, it's bound to taste pretty good.
They can go heavy with the extras.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, there'll be lots of time. Listen to this beautiful segue for Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron and company to contemplate their coffees in the Boston area because their hockey season is over, my friends, thanks to Brock Nelson and the New York Islanders.
Mayfield will start again. In off Bailey's stick, Tukarask awaits it in the trapezoid where he's allowed to play it. Gave it away to Bailey in front for Beauvillier and Nelson. Brock shoots and scores! Nelson has his second of the period and the Islanders have their first two-goal lead of the night and
That's our Johnny High Voice broadcaster, who I believe because listen, it turned over quickly. I believe called him Nelson Brock when the puck first appeared on his stick there. Anyway, Brock Nelson, that would be the second of two in a row he would get in the second period. The first one put them up 2-1. That one stands up as the game winner when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
The Islanders win it 6-2, and they take the the division final.
Yeah, division.
Eastern division final.
Yeah.
Got to go over this. Us in six games.
Yeah. And so they were considered to be Eastern Division. There was Canadian Division, Central Division, Western Division.
Yep.
McCarts, who I think McCarts might live in Australia, JR, is a big listener and a big Bruins fan, and pointed out, which I didn't follow the series that closely. I watched it. But I think a great point by him is that when Brandon Carlo went out, that was when suddenly when Mr. Barzal came alive. That was kind of his job. So certainly on the back end banged up. And for the Islanders, man, oh, man. You look at Pageau. You look at the sum of the parts. You look at Lou Lamoriello, Barry Trotz. Just everything about them. Is kind of that maximizing everything you can, attention to detail, just playing every darn shift. And I think old Lou and Barry, based on their caps and lease past, probably sitting there smiling a little bit. Boy, oh boy, they are a nice little duo that I think any franchise would be proud to have. And more importantly, going into the new barn, JR, they've reinvigorated the fan base at a time when taking over could have been the worst time possible when old Johnny T walked out, right? I mean, you know, think about what they were kind of facing and where they're at right now. Job well done.
Yeah, since Barry Trotz left Washington when they won the cup in 2018. So this is now the third season, the second season being just that crazy bubble thing or whatever.
Yeah,
the Islanders have won five playoff series.
Yeah.
In the 3 years since he's gone to the island, the Washington Capitals have won 0.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was just, listen, people said it at the time. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. No. And now in retrospect, I'm not sure if Ted Leonsis, and you worked for the man, is a guy that's into kicking himself, or he's a man who makes decisions and lets bygones be bygones. Not quite sure, but he's got to be looking at this as he is now on to, what, his third coach after Barry Trotz has left, and be going, man, what the heck are we doing?
No,
very much so. I thinking?
No, him and Brian McCullough didn't get along, and I remember my old Mac there, and hey, credit, won a Stanley Cup. I'm not a huge fan. Commented that we don't want to pay the money he's asking because that's what goes to top coaches. A real slap to Barry at the time. He's sitting there, only one chair left. A little 5x5 action, 5 years, $5 million. He rolls in, and the part for Washington that never made sense, and this is where egos get involved, JR, especially after winning a Stanley Cup. They've pissed away 3 prime years of Alexander Ovechkin's career, where you even wonder now with they're having issues with Kuznetsov, with Samsonov. You look at an older crew, you know, they have lost maybe the window to end up winning another Stanley Cup with Ovi. So a huge, huge mistake by the Washington Capitals.
All right. So we'll have lots of time to set up. Well, I actually don't know. I would maybe assume the NHL is going to want a game on the weekend for sure. I would assume Tampa Islanders is going to start this weekend. Nothing official yet.
Yeah, I would think so. Saturday,
that
right?
series, either Saturday or Sunday, yeah, I'm guessing, whatever time frame that NBC has written in for a hockey game, that's when the game is going to be. So I would have to check ahead to see if NBC has golf.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
They have
yeah.
golf, then it'll be a game at night. If they don't have golf, it might be one of those 3 p.m. games on either Saturday or Sunday. So it is the Islanders and the Lightning, and that is a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Final, which Tampa Bay won in 6 games. I just kind of went back last night to review.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay blew them out in game 1, 8-2. Other than that, all the games were pretty close. The Lightning won one of the games when Kucherov scored in the last 10 seconds. They clinched the series in overtime on an Anthony Cirelli goal. So the Islanders and Lightning played a decently close series last year, but Tampa Bay did win. And we'll see what happens this year. But again, they'll be playing for a spot in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, and should be a hell of a series. Exciting to watch. And again, for the New York Islanders, continued on. And the final days, the final games played at the old Nassau Coliseum. And pretty cool to see some of the old pitchers there. And looking across at all the numbers that have been retired, that starts with Billy Smith and moves across, I think, most of the people you would expect, JR. And I'd forgotten that number 91 had been retired for Butch Goring. So certainly some great history in the bar. In there and well-deserved for the Islander fans.
So that is the Islander story, which will continue. The Boston Bruins season comes to its conclusion once again in the second round, second straight year they've lost in the second round of the playoffs. Here's Brad Marchand on the season coming to its conclusion.
Well, it's disappointing. We expected a longer run in this room. You know, we felt like we had a group that could go really deep this year. You know, I think that it just came down to a couple of breaks. You know, I think there's some games that we really outplayed them and came up short. But that's playoffs.
There you go. So there's Brad Marchand, who is 33 years old. Patrice Bergeron is 35 years old. He's got 1 year left on his contract. David Krejci is 35 years old. He is a pending UFA. Yeah, yeah. Tuukka Rask is 34 years old. Jaro Halak, who didn't even dress for the series, is 36 years old. That was your Bruins goaltending duo for most of the season. They're all UFAs. So the last four names I mentioned, all UFAs. And so for Don Sweeney and company, going to be some interesting decisions to make in this offseason, whether they run it back with everybody, with Marchand and Bergeron being at the forefront, and Pasternak, of course, or whether they try to do, it won't be a rebuild, but kind of a, they move a bunch of pieces out and try to change the course of the team. What do you think they're going to end up doing?
I think you stay the course, JR, based on where Bergeron is at, based on Marchand, but it certainly brings up a lot of questions of all the things yesterday. Did you see who was subbing in for the injured Curtis Lazar? Jake DeBrusk.
Oh, yes. You know, out of sight, out of mind.
That took me. I knew he wasn't playing, but I'm like, wow. Like, this is a guy a couple of years ago, you were saying, okay, find the guy to play with DeBrusk and Krejci on a second line. So I've got to say, without a doubt, a card that's going to be played, and I still think has value in the National Hockey League, is Jake DeBrusk. Now get into Taylor Hall, get into Mike Riley. And then I think the biggest intrigue and a ton of second guessing yesterday in Boston, was Rask really the one that should end up playing, or should Swayman have played? Now, to Rask, if he doesn't want to play anywhere but Boston, what does he do? And I think Taylor Hall's the big one. I'm curious to see, JR, what kind of contract that is, because I don't think Boston's backing up a 5-7 year deal at huge money. I think they'd look at this and say, listen, you want a window here? We think we got another 2 or 3 years. If you want to sign up for decent money, 5 or 6, we can slot you in. If not, you know what? Move along. So I think lots of work to be done in Boston, but I think they stay the course. What about you?
The Taylor Hall one is going to be interesting to me, and his playoff, and in particular this series, is not going to do himself any favors. He had one goal in the 6 games in this series. Yeah. It came in the first game, and it was into an empty net. Other than that, he had one assist in the 6 games. He had 2 goals in the first round 5-game series win over Washington. So in total, 3 goals in 11 games for Taylor Hall. But for large parts of the games I watched, which was more this round than the first round, you didn't really notice him again. And this has been the story of a player who was an MVP in the league, 3 years ago, three or four years ago, whatever it was.
Incredible.
And well-deserving of it that year. Yeah. And every year since then, he's become a less effective hockey player. He's still a good hockey player, but there's no reason, I don't think, that any team in the NHL should be knocking itself out to try to sign Taylor Hall to incredible term and incredible money. Yeah. Because he's had the chance to go to places like Arizona and to Buffalo and to be, quote, the guy. And it didn't work. And then it was like, well, I got traded to Boston. I don't have to be the guy anymore. You know, Marchand and Krejci and Pasternak, they're the guys. I can fly under the radar. Watch me now. And we watch him in the playoffs, and there wasn't anything there at all.
Yeah, and the biggest part I noticed in the Islander series, JR, even more, is that he has never had great hockey sense. He's never seen the ice. And when all of a sudden you face the structure of the New York Islanders, it really eliminates. And again, I said this when he was drafted. My theory with him was always his physical skills are elite. He can skate. He's big. He's strong. He's certainly skilled. The minute that comes down just a tad, which it has the last few years, hey, he's still an effective player in some spots, but how many times do you watch him with the puck basically skate into nowhere? Like I said, he has no ability to play with other people, has some nice physical skills, but as I said, for the Boston Bruins and for the mandate and for Mr. Neely, who's calling the shots, I think there's pressure to win. And I also say, strangely enough, and not because Butchie called out the referees, but just kind of the way the season ended here, kind of I thought there's a bit of a negative vibe around the Boston Bruins as the season ends. Now, I don't think anything drastic is going to happen. But as I said, the mandate there is to keep taking runs at Stanley Cups.
By the way, we are hopeful, and you'll have to text after a few days for him to cool off, our friend Bruce Cassidy,
because
we were a bit of a good luck charm a couple of years ago in the playoffs. We essentially really took the Bruins and Bruce Cassidy to Game 7 of the final with our before the series phone calls, which proved to be good luck. Now, we talked to him before round 1, which they won. Now, here is going to be our out simmer if he does say, hey, where's the good luck going, fellas? You let me down. Here is the key, because of the way the schedule laid itself out, the series began on the weekend before we had a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
So we actually talked to him after the series started.
Yeah.
So that's our out.
It
so if it comes up in conversation, just say, hey, should have called us on the weekend.
Yeah.
Not our fault.
Well, and also to be quite honest with you, out of respect for yourself, I could have had him on the Friday, JR, but you chose to take vacation. So that's also.
I was available.
Well, you would have.
Don't throw me under the bus with Bruce Cassidy.
You were never bullish on the Bruins like I was going into the year. I swore this was the year they weren't going to make the playoffs, and I
had to eat crow when we had him on midway through the year.
Oh no, absolutely, and the way they patched up that blue line and did some. Hey, whatever happened to the Zboril fella? Is he like Jonathan Davidson? Have you ever actually seen him?
He played in the regular season for a while, but you're right.
He mysteriously got that one-way contract last year when he never could play, and I was like, what the hell is going on here?
All accounts were that he was that he actually was decent during the regular season, but you're absolutely right.
They went about 10 deep.
There'll be lots of Bruin fans out there listening right now that will have a better idea of what happened. But this part of the story, and I know Gary was talking about on the TV broadcast last night of the Bruins was just their defense through injury and overuse just not enough good players. Just got worn down, and of all the guys. Little old Matty Grizzlick last night had a tough night with the puck on a stick. Gave the puck away for two of the Islander goals.
Yeah, and hey, under pressure, a little bit banged up. Those things happen. You lose Krug. Chara comes to an end. So many things happen in JR. And again, I know drafting isn't exact. I know it's an 18-year-old draft. But again, you have to go back to, unfortunately, taking Sinishin, who's local, and Zboril versus what was there. And then just overall, if you want to be a competitive system, you want to have that great first line and other things, you got to have players coming through the system. And you think back to Anders Bork. I think back to Donato. First of all, Donato, they flipped out. That Charlie Coyle contract, my oh my. Talk about a guy that doesn't have any hockey sense.
Donato?
What's
Ryan
that?
Donato. I'm just talking about all those young
players. No, that's what I said. Donato for
Coyle. Carlson.
Yeah. Like there's
what happened to these guys?
I don't know. And how hyped it was. Like, you know, it's Bjork, right? They came out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like there was a bunch of hype around a bunch of these guys. None of them materialized. Then you turn around and get Coyle and give him this crazy, you know, 6-year deal. The guy is just a big block that really is nothing more than a third line player. But point is that, hey, you know, not drafting well has just caught up to them now, where you can shift around a bunch of parts. And I think the big card they'll have to play this summer is either trying to sign Hall, Riley, and Rask at reduced money. At the same time, you know, what is the trade world for a guy like DeBrusk? I have to think there's going to have something happen there.
Tuukka Rask did admit after the series that he was not at 100%, and in fact alluded to the fact that he may need surgery for whatever he's dealing with. And Bruce Cassidy said the same, but it sounded very much like Bruce said to Tuukka, are you, if you feel you're good to go, then you can go. Kind of left it. You know, and listen, I've never been an NHL coach. I just wonder, is that the right thing? He's a veteran player, and I shouldn't say he's won a Stanley Cup, but he has a Stanley Cup ring. Yeah, but he's been there and is due the respect that a veteran player should have. But at the same time, you're the coach.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's not 100%.
Yeah.
And you see, and Bruce Cassidy said, you know, he wasn't moving around the net like he typically does. You know, should you leave that decision to him?
Yeah.
Or should you make the ultimate decision? And if you don't think he's good to 100% and is good enough, then go to your backup, who's going to be your goalie of the future.
Yeah, no, very much so, JR. And I would have played Swayman now out of Boston, because there is a lot of conflict with Rask, or controversy, sorry. You know, there was some theory floated out yesterday. Well, maybe it's not Butchie's call. And the case of goaltender, no, Pierre McGuire brought it up, JR, but it's not quite the same of gutting it out like a defenseman or a forward, right? I mean, when your physical limitations come as a goaltender, and you could watch him, and I'm trying to watch him and think, okay, it's got to be something kind of mid-lower body, like whether it's abdominal, whether it's groin. When he would kind of be in his squat there, did you see how many times he got beat where it looked like he almost wasn't moving? Like, he just didn't look comfortable.
The one
in
goal
net.
On Nelson where he came right down the slide, he was kind of scrunched all in.
Exactly.
He looked odd on that one.
Yeah, so I'll be curious to see, but at all.
That's breaking down the tendies right there. Thanks. He looks scrunchy and kind of all tucked in.
Yeah.
That's me breaking it down.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I feel like after CB pumped your tires the other
day.
Then, yeah, you're just bringing her.
You've got a good eye, I believe, is the quote that I remember.
But for goaltenders, I don't think that's the case, Jer. I don't, kind of grind it out. Hey, if you don't have it athletically, I think it's real tough. And I think that might be a move down the road they'll regret. I would have played Swayman.
All right, so the interesting question going forward is a lot of as the divisions will revert back to the normal so-called divisions next year, so the Atlantic Division, then Ottawa will go back in there, and a lot of the talk after the demise of the Maple Leafs is, well, look, Toronto, man, like next year, right?
Yeah,
back into the division. Tampa, defending Stanley Cup champions. And then people just automatically go to Boston, and after that it was Florida, and then Ottawa's on the rise, and they got, now of course Montreal will be part of the conversation as well. All that to say, to me, the Bruins just look like they're getting they won the Stanley Cup 10 years ago with a lot of the same guys that are there now.
Yeah, great point.
And you just went through the whole thing of the next group. Other than McAvoy, is just not there to keep it going. It just feels like they're getting further and further away from the Cup. Not even spinning their wheels and staying in the same spot.
Yeah,
certainly not progressing. If anything, incrementally falling a little further back.
No, I totally agree, and that is the interesting spot. Now, how would you approach this? Well, would you agree that none of the top line will ever get traded, I assume? I mean, Boston's traded Sagan, they've traded Joe Thornton. I mean,
Marchand's on an incredible contract for 4 more years at $6 million for his production.
You know, and Bergeron, I kind of look at them and say, hey, they're lifers. Pasternak, the prime of his career, if you ever wanted to go crazy, I mean, the guy's a superstar. You go through the rest of the roster. What I really feel, though, deep down, first of all, for Jacobs, it's all about making money. But I think for Cam Neely, I don't think he has the patience to reload here. This is my personal opinion. I think he'll keep going
down. Cam Neely not patient? How would you ever get that idea? Just watch him in the press box during a game.
Do you imagine him at the omelet station at the buffet? Do you imagine how quick he got to finish up that omelet before he wants to get to the waffles and everything else? So I think they'll just stay the course. And they're going to run out of track. It's not going to be a pretty ending there. So if you're a Sens fan, you start trying to stack it up. And I hate to both on player evaluations, but certainly on team. JR, trying to forecast where everyone's going to be at next year when you see youth improving here in Ottawa. I mean, I want to watch Florida, to be quite honest with you, up close and personal. I know they had a nice year, but I still kind of look at the sum of the parts and okay, where exactly are they? There's no doubt Tampa's a nice team. There's no doubt Toronto's a nice team. But, hey, where's Detroit going to be at? Where's Buffalo going to be at? Where's Montreal going to be at? I mean, I think Ottawa can close some gaps here pretty quickly. I just don't know the exact time frame based on the youth that they're integrating into their group right now.
Well, Tampa just based on star power, but they're going to – this will be the summer. Last summer, Julien Brisebois was able to work some magic and didn't really end up losing a whole heck of a lot at the end of the day. This will be the summer in which the rubber meets the road, in particular with two guys. Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow are two guys they brought in before last season. They traded first-round picks. Part of the reason they were willing to trade first-round picks for guys who are essentially third-line guys but much needed in terms of what they bring to the table is they make absolutely no money.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys now have proven to be money guys in the playoffs. They are good hockey players. But they're going to be due for substantial raises. It is going to be, unless they can get rid of, Tyler Johnson is a given that you'll try to get rid of his contract, but somebody's going like a Palat or a Killorn or maybe two players or Goodrow or Coleman. Like Tampa Bay is going to start to lose some of the substantial depth that has helped them win. So I'm not saying they're falling out of the playoffs. They've still got, as I said, incredible star power, starting with a Hedman and a Point and a Kucherov and a Vasilevsky and Net. That's a great jumping off point.
Yeah.
But they're gonna start to slowly kind of come a little bit back to the pack, I think. Toronto's still going to be, they'll still have great talent. We'll see what they do in the summer. But Boston falling back a little bit. Who knows with Montreal? We'll see if this is a one-off or if this is something that's sustainable. Florida, you just mentioned. Ottawa's on the rise. Detroit and Buffalo still seem like they're pretty far away. So as much as we try to forecast the Atlantic Division, I want to see what happens this summer before I start penning in spots for teams in playoffs.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then, as I said, the part with Ottawa that you look at some of the pieces, Jer, and we've talked about moves, but it's also hard to predict, and not in a negative way, but all of a sudden a group of young guys that finish off strongly last year show up, and it's like, wow, they've completely gone next level, where you reassess where you're at. And that's why I think you're always careful to basically say, hey, let's get to the end of October next year and kind of look around and see where everybody's at, including the Ottawa Senators.
So the Islanders finish off the Bruins in six. It will be New York and Tampa in one of the NHL semifinals. The other could be completed tonight. If Vegas can knock off Colorado in game six of their series, it will be played in Vegas. So the Golden Knights will be at home with a chance to clinch. 9 o'clock, by the way, will be the face-off game for the time for the game tonight. And of course, winner will go on to face the Montreal Canadiens in the other semi. We'll take a break. 6:48. Lots more still to come, including next hour, your chance to win $1,000 in our TSN $1,200,000 minute. As we roll on here for a Thursday morning, you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 6:52, 1 week from today, next Thursday. It's the next major on the golf season. The U.S. Open will be underway out at Torrey Pines in San Diego, which I love the West Coast majors because that means the golf goes into the primetime hours. You watch it late into the evening. And that will serve as a reminder that that means another TSN 1200 majors pool is back. Thanks to our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty. The undisputed number one. So here's the deal. If you've done our golf pools before, you know it's pretty darn simple. If you haven't, just go to our website, tsn1200.ca, big green banner across the top, click on it, fill out your information, and then fill out your team. So we have 9 pools, 6 golfers in each. Your job is to pick out the guy of the 6 who will end up with the lowest score, the best score. And if collectively your 9 players have a lower score than anyone else, you will be in for the grand prize of your very own Google Home Nest. All right, to kind of tie everything together in your home, again, courtesy of Royal LePage Team Realty. So your deadline to enter is next Thursday. I'll do the same like I do every time we have the golf pools, okay? Just go out, fill out your team now.
Yeah.
You can always go in and change your team if somebody drops out or you actually end up doing a little bit of research on this and aren't going with Simmer's theory of guys with short names and that don't wear visors are the best pick if you want to do actually some golf research. But fill out your team, get it in there, and we cement everything in, lock it in as of next Thursday morning. Yeah. But that's the third major of the golf season, the U.S. Open, our TSN 1200 majors pool, available at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, went through last night, guys, made my picks. A couple of things here. Went with a heavy Asian group, or people I think are either Asian. Also went with Corey Connors. Or is it Connor or Connors?
Connors.
So went with him. I think with Phil, there's going to be a drop-off. That's what I've analyzed.
That's his hometown, though.
Okay. But I just don't. He's talking too much. He's riding around with the trophy. And then between Koepka and DeChambeau, I hate Koepka, but I think he's going to actually be stronger mentally to survive this, where I think DeChambeau is going to actually snap and lose it. I think he's headed to a major breakdown.
Really?
I don't think he's enjoying this whole thing. I think it's really throwing him for a loop. That's just personally.
That's a fine theory. I happen to think the entire thing is.
Yeah, you said that, eh?
Yeah. Wow. I think it's all made up. No, I shouldn't say that. I think. Boil it all down, these two guys, we're talking about two of the best guys in any individual sport.
Yeah.
Huge egos at play here. Are these guys best buddies? No. Do they hate each other as being, kind of put out there through social media? I don't think so. I think what's happening is the PGA announced earlier this year they put up a $40 million prize pool or a pool for players as far as who gets the most social interaction.
Wow,
that went out there, and all of a sudden we're seeing so-called secret video being posted of Brooks Koepka eye rolling and swearing as Bryson DeChambeau walks by, and then they're going at it on Twitter, and then Bryson is offering cases of beer to fans who got tossed from tournaments because they were shouting at Bryson DeChambeau and calling him Brooksy. I don't know, man. Maybe I've just been doing this for too long, I'm too cynical. Not quite sure, but I think there's a little bit of that.
Yeah, I felt that with the Mayweather-McGregor, and after the fact, you saw it, and I kind of looked at the act. JR, if that's the case, good on them, but I really think that in the case of DeChambeau, it's affecting his golf, that's all. And if this is fun, then it shouldn't be the case. So let's see how the next couple of tournaments go as to how it's being. Yeah, I don't know. I think that old Koepka, he's such an arrogant fella. I think he's right in that fella's kitchen and whipping up some dinner. And I don't think old DeChambeau likes it very much.
All right. So U.S. Open begins 1 week from today. 6:56, only one NBA playoff game last night in Phoenix. The Suns taking on the Nuggets in game two. Phoenix had won game one. They did it again in game two.
Chris Paul, 14 points, 15 assists. What a game. He shoots another three. Suzanne!
We've seen this act, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And it is fun to watch.
Yes, it is. Timeout. Suns will take a timeout, leading 102-75.
The reason that Chris Paul is nicknamed the point god is for nights like last night, 17 points, 15 assists, zero turnovers. And the Suns blow away the Nuggets 123-98. They win by 25 to go up in the Western Conference semifinal, 2-0.
I lose track of this fella. Is he the fella that has not delivered in the playoffs in the past, CP3?
Yes, he's never won a championship.
Was he Clippers last year?
He's Clippers a while ago. He's been in OKC. He's been in Houston. He has suffered a fair number of injuries crucial points in playoff series in particular. They had one of the years Golden State went to the final, may have even won that year. They had them down, I think, 3-2. Houston did, and he ended up getting injured. So he has. Part of it is has he come through? No, but a lot of it has been due to just some really unfortunate injuries. And it looked like this playoff was going to be the same way. It started off against the Lakers. I think it was Game One or Game Two. He ends up suffering what looked at the time to be a significant shoulder injury, and he was hampered throughout the Lakers series. And you're thinking, oh my God, here we go with Chris Paul again. He's had a great regular season. His team has had an unbelievable year, but he got injured, and now the Lakers are going to end up beating the Suns. Well, he kind of struggled through a bit of the series with the Lakers, but the Suns found a way to beat them. And now it looks like he's back to, if he's not 100%, he looks like he's, and in games like last night, he seems like he's 100%, but the Suns right now are firing. And of course, Denver right now is without Jamal Murray. Yeah, and games I watched the game last night, they really missed that second scoring threat. They have Nikola Jokic, of course, who was just named the MVP a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But that's, they've got a great bench. They've got a lot of good players, but they don't have that second option right now. And right now, it's, until you're not in trouble until you've lost a home game. They're going home for game three. But right now, the Suns look like the better team of the two.
Yeah, and good for them. And the player I was thinking of Paul George, actually, being critical of him when he's with the Clippers or other teams. So, hey, good on that. And as a longtime Suns fan, are you enjoying this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, staying up watching the game. Well, I haven't really mentioned the fact that, and it's it's crazy the fact that AJ and I are both fans of the team. But no reason to actually talk about the fact that you're a fan of the team because they've been terrible for the last 10 years. Of course, Steve Nash had some good years.
Yeah, for sure.
In those years he was in Phoenix between 2000 and 2010, a couple of MVPs. There was a year they should have beat the Lakers in the playoffs. There's a year they should have beat the Rockets. And remember Robert Horry, body checked Nash. And then one of the Suns' key players came off, just in his defense, came off the bench. This is, I believe, in game six, I want to say, and didn't even get into a scuffle. But if you leave the bench and just enter the floor, it's an automatic one-game suspension.
Oh, okay.
And so Robert Horry essentially goaded the Sun. They end up losing, and I remember who the player was, a key player for a game seven. They end up losing. So anyway, it's been a lot of heartbreak as a Suns fan over the year. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but good start to the series.
Yeah, and always strong uniform game. I think one of the best in professional
sports. Rally the Valley.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the theme this year.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
All right, two more games tonight, by the way, in the NBA, including the Nets at the Bucks with Milwaukee down 2-0, to none, and then it'll be game two of the Jazz and... as they're at home trying to go two up on Paul George and the Clippers. So a pair of NBA playoff games for you tonight, as well as a hockey game. Vegas and Colorado playing game six in Vegas. Again, 9 o'clock will be the faceoff. If Vegas wins, they'll move on to play Montreal in the league semifinal, with the Islanders and Tampa set to go in the other semi. We'll take a break. Top of the hour, I'll get the latest news from 580 CFRA. Run down the scoreboard for you. including details on that Islanders win over the Bruins last night. And we'll come back next hour, our TSN $1,200,000 minute. And we've also got, of course, Pierre McGuire coming up. Brad Shaw just announced yesterday, good Ottawa guy, the new assistant coach with the Vancouver Canucks. We'll talk to Shawzy later on in the show as well. As we roll on here for a Thursday morning, you're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.